to you. My scripture today is in Titus 3, starting at the first verse, and we're going to go through 11. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. To malign no one, to be peaceful, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, deceitful, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of a God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after the first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for these words of wisdom and words of kindness and hope. And Heavenly Father, bless this message. And let it be heard and understood and be a help as You would have. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. I don't know if you have read that particular scripture in the Bible, it being the last of the short book of Titus. It's the chapter 3. So we are in the area of the Bible where you have some pretty short books of the Bible. But my text to you is the Titus 3 and 14. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. Did you notice how many times in my this particular portion of the chapter 3 of Titus, how many times the word or expression of having good deeds is? Our text is letting us know that we should do good deeds, which meet pressing needs as part of being fruitful for God. It's important within the scriptures that we have fruit, that we conduct ourselves and we believe in God and we know the word well enough to help others and their experiences in life. Good deeds is evidence of a changed life, a life born again, the rebirth spiritually, a life that is renewed. If your life doesn't change after being saved, then your destination or your end doesn't change either. Let me express that again. Good deeds is an evidence of a changed life, a life born again or renewed. If your life doesn't change after being saved, then your destination or end doesn't change either. In other words, if you were headed to hell before you were saved, and then you were saved, and after you were saved, there was no change, then the same place you were headed before, you're still headed there. Do you get what I'm saying? That's pretty clear. Let's look at John 15 and 16. John 15 and 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he might give it to you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? A life that is changed from being lost to being found. A life that is found worthy by God to be in His family and a child of His. Versus one that is not. It is important to God that we bear fruit to Him. Let's look at John 15 and 2. And notice that these verses is making it clear that you, as a child of God and as one in the family of God, are required by God and expected by God to bear fruit. John 15 and 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Does God want fruit? Does God want you to be a blessing to other people that you come in contact with? Whoever they are, whenever your opportunity is. Yes, he does. Let's look at Psalms 37 and starting with the fourth verse. Psalms 37 and 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Is that important to you? Your desire should be worthy. But it says, delight, take joy in yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now here is saying extra words that we're supposed to take to heart and do. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way. Decide in yourself, the Lord knows best. I will seek the Lord. Whatever He says to do, I will do it over my way. I will walk in His path. I will walk in His words and advice before my own and instead of my own. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment on down to the seventh, through the seventh verse. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Do you see the advice there? Wait patiently on the Lord. In other scriptures, be quiet. Wait patiently for the Lord. Now let's look at Psalms 1, starting with the first verse. Psalms 1:1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, there's that word again, his joy, his enjoyment, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You know what the word meditates means? Study. Put a lot of thought to. Consider. Go to God for him to speak to you exactly what those words mean. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Do you want your way to be prosperous? It's telling you exactly what God will do as you do what God expects of you. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28, starting at the second verse. Deuteronomy 28 and 2. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your breast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing God. God's going to be blessing you. And you're going to be blessing those that God brings for you to come in contact with for his purpose. And God wants you to abide in his word, know his word, in order to accomplish that. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28:11 through 14. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your beast and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give you rain to your land in the season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you only will be above and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after the other gods to serve them. Wonderful advice. Wonderful words. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 now. My message to you today is entitled, Needs and Deeds. And when you really think about it and all the scriptures and thoughts that we've expressed so far, you can see how needs and deeds work together. You can see how they go hand in hand. If you have a need, God can provide. If you know others that have a need, God can bless you to help those needs of others be met. And deeds, or if I dare to say the word works, works and deeds are important in God's Word. And they are required of us. And it is required of us to bear fruit. And we will as we get our priorities in order. 2 Corinthians 8 and 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Is that saying that people that are in the family of God is always going to live lives as if they are living in a bed of roses, as if they have God's hedge of protection around them at all times so that nothing bad ever happens to them? No. That's saying that this church in Macedonia had a great ordeal of affliction. But yet in all of their affliction, they still had an abundance of joy, even though living in deep poverty. And not only did they have joy in their lives because of their relationship to God, but they were still, as even in poverty, were very generous. When they heard of others that needed help, they were willing, even in their poverty, to give liberally to others in need. And so God requires of us. Not that we are in the great and the same degree of poverty. And most of us not in poverty at all. But He expects us to be a blessing to others. And He expects us to be generous and liberal to others, particularly those that have needs and needs our help, needs God's help. Let's look at Philippians 4 and 12. Philippians 4 and 12. This is the Apostle Paul expressing this. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Isn't that something? Paul is saying, I've experienced it all. I've had a lot, and I've also at times had nothing. But I've learned how to live in either. And we need to be the same. Let's look at chapter 25 and verse 29. Matthew 25 and 29. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Do you like that? Well, it depends on which end you are. In our natural way of thinking, that doesn't quite sound like something we really want to hear. It doesn't sound maybe just to us. But this is what the Word says. You bear fruit or you don't. And God sees and knows your heart, no matter what the outward appearance is. God knows what you do. He knows how you react, what you say, what you do in private or don't do. He knows it all. And perhaps that person that doesn't have, has not done anything for God. And maybe the one that has done a lot, has bore much fruit to the Lord. So these scriptures are saying, for to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does shall be taken away. Let's look at Luke 12 and 15. Luke 12 and 15. Then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. That lets us know that the answer to our utmost desires in our heart and lives to feel worth and importance, and that we are really amounting to something, is not going to be found in our possessions, our material wealth. But it's going to be found in our relationship to God and as being one in His family and of being an instrument through which God works to reach others. Let's look at Philippians 4 and 13. Philippians 4:13. This is Apostle Paul, after he's saying, I've learned to live with nothing, and I've learned to live with abundance, and I can live both. In other words, the Apostle Paul knows how to deal with the problems of life that come to him. He has reached that point in his life at which he can live in a balance. And he's saying, after all of that, being destitute, being beaten, put in prison, whatever, and prospering, he's saying, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And the one who strengthens him is the one that makes it possible for him to live in whatever conditions he finds himself in, prospering or in poverty. Let's look at Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God will supply all my needs through my relationship with him, through being a child in his family, and through knowing Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What does the book James mean to you? Have you read the book of James enough to have an opinion of how it compares with the other books and perhaps what is in there that other books may not have? I look at the book of James as the great book of balance. When I think of the word of the book James, I think of balance. For within it, it has a chapter which I would call a chapter of balance of God's Word. And what balance am I talking about? I'm talking about the balance that mainstream Christianity ignores and distorts and only presents one side of a picture. And that balance is faith and works, or faith and deeds. Either one by itself, neither faith nor works or deeds, neither one by their self and alone is enough. Neither one is enough. Remember my title of my message? Needs and deeds. Faith and works. Let's go to James 2, and I'll show you further what I'm talking about, that neither faith nor deeds or works is enough by themselves alone. James 2, we're going to hit several verses through this chapter. But remember the chapter 2 of James. When you read it at home, remember you're getting a balance of those two very important words in God's words to you, faith and works. James 2 and verse 14. For what use is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, And one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. See how important that is? Regardless of what you've had in your mind before hearing these words, regardless of your whatever you hear evangelistic messages on TV and all of the ministers that live a life so high and mighty and have congregations in the hundreds, disregard. If they say something that leads you to believe that faith alone is all you have to have. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. That means it's not capable of nothing. Verse 17. Okay, let's go to 18. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now let's go to verse 20. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Is that what you're hearing from the evangelical messages that you see and hear on TV? Is that what's coming through? Or is what is presented primarily to you is that all you have to have is faith? That's all that's necessary. Then the whole thing is God is loving, God is merciful, God is forgiving. God would never do anything hurtful, regardless of the sin in your life. Anything and everything, if it's done in the proper framework and your mind in relationship with God, God will see. God will see your heart and God will forgive. These scriptures are letting you know that faith without works, without good deeds, without having fruit, faith without works does nothing. Now, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Needs and deeds. Faith and works. If you have faith, you must have deeds. You must have good works. Faith alone does not get it. Good deeds alone, good works, does not get it alone. It requires the balance. It requires both. Neither one alone is enough. God will supply your needs in abundance, overflowing, if you live for Him, if you're a child of His family, if you have that balance living and active in your heart and life. If you would stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this blessed Sabbath. We thank You for each one that's here, for the homes they represent, for the loved ones that they have. And we ask Your blessings on their entire family and loved ones. And let all of them be influenced by each one here. And Lord, let them come to know You and be a part of Your family also. Thank You for this message. And let it be the help that You would have to each one that hears it. And let each one that hears it, no matter where and how that it's heard, no matter if it's in this congregation or over the internet, let them be blessed by You. And let the truth dwell in them to reach others that You would have. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And I would like to ask Brother Tom, I guess, would you say the blessing for our food?
Heavenly Father, we come before You.